Hello, welcome to a new episode of the Ladies Ordinary Podcast. I'm Mariah. I will be your host today and every Tuesday. I hope that you are all having an amazing week, morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you are listening to this episode. Somebody actually asked me on the podcast Instagram today when I asked you guys what we were going to talk about tomorrow. I just kind of want to know like where you guys are in terms of what's interesting to you this week, pop culturally, news story, anything really, musically. And somebody asked me shows that I like to binge, and you caught me at a good time. It's been a while since I really got into a TV show on my own. Now, Mr. Fish will start binging shows, and then ultimately I start binging the show as well, because, you know, when I'm sitting on the couch and he's playing an episode of something, I'm going to watch it. So, well, not always, but you know, I truly have no idea how I'm so late on The Crown, but I guess all of the Kate Middleton talk has probably been really good for their numbers, because I finally started The Crown, and I remember I started it back in 2019, probably, and I just couldn't get into it, even though I really love history and I like the royal family. I just couldn't get into it. I probably watched like 4 episodes. When I tell you, I'm fully obsessed. I woke up Friday and I just really wasn't feeling well. So I had a sick day from work and I watched The Crown for the entire day. I truly watched The Crown for the entire day. I'm now mid season 4 and I started The Crown on Thursday. So I don't really want to talk about, I guess, the logistics of that. But just know, I'm obsessed. So put that down as a show that I like to binge. Another one, I'll give 3. Another one is the Apple TV show that I talked about at the beginning of this podcast. And not this episode, this podcast. When Lizzie was still a host, I watched this show called Silo. And I unfortunately watched it when it was coming out weekly, so I couldn't binge it. But I totally would have binged the entire thing. And last one, something light. I loved Lessons in Chemistry, also on Apple TV. Apple TV has a lot of sleeper hits. Then, of course, Gilmore Girls is a comfort show of mine. The Office. Really, I'll go back and watch particular episodes of The Office, and I'll go back and watch particular episodes of Parks and Rec. Those two are major comfort shows for me. But oddly enough, I think something that would surprise people about me based on how much I love pop culture, I do not like Bravo reality TV shows. I loved Love is Blind. I used to watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette. I don't watch it anymore. Obviously, I watched The Golden Bachelor. Still waiting on confirmation on if we're getting a Golden Bachelorette. Justice for Leslie. But I don't hate because I truly have never watched them, but I have no interest in watching Bravo reality TV. I have no interest in watching 12 people go sit in a house for the summer or the winter. I'm not even going to talk bad about it because I don't understand it. I don't understand the obsession. I think the only Bravo shows that I could get into would be Real Housewives, because at least the women are interesting and they're rich. Other than that, no, I don't really have an interest in watching people from South Carolina go sit in a house. I'm sorry. Love y'all. Not watching. Definitely never going to watch Vanderpump Rules. I'm sorry. Why are these people famous? Like, seriously, why? Sandoval? That pushed me to my limit. A lot of the girls out there that are riding for death to Tom Sandoval, your own man cheating on you. And you don't seem to care about that. And he treats you like a piece of dirt. And you're out here, this is my Super Bowl, babe. Priorities. Priorities. Because you're right there in the same boat. You're right there next to her rowing. Y'all sharing a paddle. And you're, every time you share something about Tom Sandoval cheating on that woman, your friends are sending it to each other. And they're saying, who gonna tell her? You know, actually, they're saying, is she embarrassed? Because she knows we know her man cheating on her. Anywho, you know, I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum. I believe everyone is allowed to have pleasures. My other gripe with the internet this week, but I'll start with the story that fueled it. We got, in a video obtained by TMZ, an exclusive report, a Kate Middleton sighting that is real. And originally there was an article posted with no photographic evidence, but there was a video obtained by TMZ. And it's Kate. It's Kate and it's William, and they're leaving the farmer's market. That's about a mile from their home in Windsor, known as the Windsor Farm Shop, if you're wondering. And for everyone who is skeptical, they did delve into the metadata, and there's no doubt that this was filmed on Saturday right near the Prince and Princess of Wales home in Windsor. This is a legit video. It is Kate. It is Kate. And I'm so happy to see her. She looked great. She's walking well. Her gait looks nice for just have having had for just have having for just having had abdominal surgery. Her gait looks great. My gripe, I know you're probably thinking, Mariah, why would your gripe be that we got photographic evidence that Kate is okay? No, my gripe is with the freaks that are the internet sleuths that are freaks. Y'all are freaks. I'm sorry. You're exhibiting very much freak behavior, and you're not concerned about Kate's well-being. No, you're bored and you don't have a life or probably a job. And it needs to stop. It needs to stop. I am seeing the most brain dead people that have never even stepped foot in the UK, never even stepped foot out of the US of A, never seen Kate, commenting back to articles saying this doesn't look like Kate. Okay. I'm seeing reports that this is a body double. Okay. This is an AI generated video. Then, what really actually pissed me off today, there were reports that Kate potentially had surgery on her bowel, which I think is probably the case. Now, I'm not going to speculate on this woman's health journey or her healing journey. That's all her business. And I don't even think I speculated on it last week, other than the week before last. I said she got a BBL and she was at the Wonka Glasgow experience. And that was a joke. I just gave you guys the timeline. Now, it has come out from a reputable source that she had bowel surgery, she had a colostomy bag, and it's a strict 12-week healing time. Now, everyone is saying that there's still something weird going on. Oh, well, why wouldn't they give us a proof of life last week when we asked for it? Bitch, because you're not the police. They're not breaking the law. She doesn't want her face to be seen. She doesn't want her colostomy bag to be seen. How about you're not the police? You're literally on your couch, on your phone, reading TMZ, trying to figure out where Kate Middleton is. Well, they should have given us proof. Like, you don't even live in the UK. You don't even live in the UK. She's not the queen. She's not the monarch. She doesn't have to tell us her health journey if she doesn't want to. For people to feel so entitled to say that they deserve to see anything, first of all, you don't deserve anything. If I was Kate, just to mess with people, I would put out a tweet on the Kensington Palace Twitter and I'd say, get a warrant, bitch. Sign C. Like, you're not a cop. You're not a federal judge. You're not my mama. You're not the Queen of England. So sit down for a second. Yeah. Another thing that I encountered on the internet today that has just royally pissed me off, when all of this footage came out, there were pictures that came out prior to the video being released. Now, the pictures were very grainy. This was recorded by a random man at the farmer's market. Now, he said he wanted to share the footage with his family. And everyone's like, why is it so blurry? Babe, what if that was your grandpa? Okay? He might have a red Razor flip phone, for all we know. He wanted to share the footage with his family, and he got a check from TMZ. So I support Nelson in his endeavors. stop talking about his camera quality. Everyone's like, why is it so blurry? That's not Kate. First of all, please stop saying it's not Kate. Okay. Second of all, people are getting these apps. Okay. They think they're going to be an internet sleuth and get this app. They're going to do the free trial of this AI app that will up the resolution on the picture so you can properly see the face. When I tell you this is some of the most moronic stuff I have ever seen in my life. People are like, I use this AI app to up the resolution and that's not Kate. And it will be the most unserious picture you have ever seen in your entire life. I'm going to post one of them to the podcast Instagram. Oh my gosh. I can't. I have to stop talking about it because it's the dumbest thing that has ever happened on the internet. I'm with Kate. Whatever she needs on her health journey, I'm with Kate. We saw Kate. She came out. Everyone's like, oh, she shouldn't be carrying that heavy bag. Shut up. You don't even think it's Kate. So how about you shut up? Anywho, I'm not even going to speculate any further because I do genuinely feel bad for even contributing to the conversation about somebody's health. And I just kind of feel icky about it. So I'm not even going to contribute any further. I'm happy we saw Kate and I'm sorry that we were so psychotic on the internet that she had to come out before she was ready, potentially. I also need to briefly touch on the Love is Blind reunion because that was one of the most chaotic things I have ever watched. And I know I posted about it in real time on the podcast Instagram, and I appreciate everyone who was interacting with me. That was so fun. And I just have to say, Mr. Fish is home. I thought it was honestly a little bit strange the way they brought Trevor out. That's the only thing that's actually continuing to haunt me and make me feel ick that they made him come out. He must have really needed a check because you couldn't pay me to come out on that stage and have them read my messages in 4K. Very, very strange. It honestly felt like a public lashing because also the way that they were talking about Chelsea, which we didn't talk about Chelsea and Jimmy near enough. We really skid past them, so good on Chelsea. But when Nick, the host, when he said, raise your hand if you think a secret told in secret should be kept secret. Everyone raise your hand. Yes.
Hello, ladies and ordinary folks. How are we doing tonight?
Wait, some people, I asked people, you know, what we were going to talk about today, and some people were asking about Dutch's DNA test results.
Oh, yes, very exciting. We got them back last week. We know what kind of canine we have.
And she's a cat.
absolutely not. Cats are not allowed in this house.
Okay, ever. There are some people that love cats, so let's let it rest. Okay. I want to talk about what you thought Dutch was prior to the test. Get close to the mic.
I thought she was definitely Golden Lab, Yellow Lab, and German Shepherd. But I was half wrong.
Way off.
There is no Labrador.
No, Mr. Fish was convinced she was fully Lab.
Yeah, because she has webbed feet. And I'm like, well, how does this dog have webbed feet and look like a Lab and not be a Lab?
And she behaves like
looks
a Lab.
Looks like a Lab, like... walks like a Lab, quacks like a Lab. Webbed feet has to be a Lab.
She's not a Lab. Not so a Lab. Do you want to share what her top four breeds are? Oh, she's kind of a lot. She's kind of a super mutt.
This
but
has not been revealed yet?
No.
Oh, drum roll, please. Okay, so 26% Husky.
Yeah.
Right?
You want me to pull up?
And then like 23% German Shepherd.
19% American Bulldog.
And 19% American Bulldog. And then there's some Chow.
Chow Chow is one of the higher ones.
And a couple other little other things in there that I don't remember what they are.
But mainly she's
a Husky.
German Shepherd.
German Shepherd,
American Bulldog.
And American Bulldog. But so I didn't know this, but Huskies have webbed feet.
Yes.
So I was not aware that they did. So that was my bad for not knowing that little bit.
For not doing your research.
Husky research that I should have done, but I did not. So.
Yeah.
The Duchess of Hillside Avenue. Now you know all about
her. Now you know. And she needs to eat dinner.
Okay.
She's been sleeping this
whole
time.
I'm going to feed her right now.
Okay.
All right. Well, nice speaking with everyone. And
very nice to have you on always.
Okay. Well, I feel honored.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, back to Love is Blind. I also feel like we really didn't need to hear as much about Sarah Ann and Jeremy. They're both clowns, in my opinion. But it felt like we took up majority of the show just talking about them, which I really, you know, didn't care about. And Laura wasn't even in the building. We also could have had a PowerPoint of three photos of Johnny and Amy, and I think everybody would have been set on that. We didn't even need them in the building, to be honest. And then, you know, we could have focused a little bit more on Jimmy and Chelsea and Kenneth and Brittany. I really would have liked to hear more from Kenneth and Brittany. The way they were silenced, they did not speak until there were 5 minutes left in the show. So ultimately, I think my biggest takeaway from the show was that they didn't send out a dress code. Okay. There were some people there in their 2000s prom chic, Miss Sarah Ann. And then there were people in a full Mardi Gras ball gown. Amy, almost forgot her name that quick. I'm already past it. And then we had Jess. I'm pretty sure she was in a mini dress. I don't know what Chelsea had on. Also, for a lot of the backlash that Chelsea got, even myself included, of people being like, that girl's not okay, she's crazy, blah, blah, etc., etc., I thought it was interesting that AD mentioned she was a little bit caught off guard watching the way that Chelsea was behaving in her relationship, because to her friends, she comes off as a very confident, outgoing woman. And so I think that's almost a lesson on how you can be a good person and be in an unhealthy, toxic relationship. And we don't have to send death threats to anyone. We really don't. There are a lot of people in this world that deserve death threats, and I don't think she's one of them, unfortunately. Unfortunately, actually, you know, fortunately for her and us. I also hate how it's almost just a trope of these reality shows now that somebody's ex is going to pop up. Somebody's ex is going to pop up and show you text messages from 2 years ago, and they want to be, they're just as thirsty as the people that go on the show. I have to be honest. And I think for me, I think the people that go on this show are the people that are the problem. And they're like, no, everybody just likes me for my looks. First of all, what looks? Second of all, you're the problem. But back to the original point, stop giving power to the exes. You don't get to be famous on Twitter for 30 seconds because you dated the loser that's on the show. That shows me right there, you're untrustworthy because you don't have a grasp on reality of this might be embarrassing. You don't have social skills. You're not embarrassed. You're not coming out as the hero in this story. Even if you have something to share that sheds a bad light on your ex, you dated him. And you're the one that's chasing clout now, putting it out. You should be embarrassed. First of all, if one of my exes went on that show, I would change my social handles. I would block him. Don't associate me with anybody from my past. Truly, you shed your skin every 7 years, so I'm basically a different person. Physically and mentally. Just let it go. I also had some requests to discuss some of the new music that has dropped lately, specifically Ariana Grande and Kacey Musgraves. And I am admittedly a huge Kacey Musgraves fan. I did see her in concert with Lizzie and our friend Preston and our friend Shelby. That must have been 2019, and I saw her in New Orleans, and I have been a huge Kacey Musgraves fan since, I don't know, forever, and this new stuff really does feel reminiscent to me of some of her albums before Golden Hour. Now, I think generally she's stayed pretty safe, pretty much the same, but I don't love all the songs, I won't lie. And maybe I just need to sit with them more. I haven't listened to it all that much, and I'll tell you why. Like I said, I saw Kacey Musgraves in New Orleans in 2019. And this was when Golden Hour was out. Like, it was a newly put out album. She was touring Golden Hour, basically. And it was in a really small venue, and it was standing room only. And I was wearing these boots. I know the boots. I just donated them a few weeks ago. And it's probably the only time I ever wore them. I had them for years, got them at Target. It's completely irrelevant to the story. And for some reason, I wasn't wearing socks. Like I said, look, people change. I'm different now. I don't know why I wasn't wearing socks. But it was standing room only. And by the time it got to the end of the show, my feet were hurting so bad. I was just ready to leave. I was going to either sit down on the floor or leave. And I did want to pull my shoes off. I know you're probably thinking, why didn't you just pull your shoes off? Well, one, bare feet. Two, because I had such bare feet and I was hot and sweaty and my feet, for some reason, decided to swell up two sizes, I couldn't get my shoes off without sitting down and having the jaws of life come into this venue. That's kind of how I gauge. I will say to this day, that's probably the worst concert I have ever been to. Not in terms of, well, she's right up there in the ranks with SZA, but she was so boring that I was conscious of my feet hurting. If you're in the concert and you're cognizant that your feet hurt during the show, it wasn't worth the money. I gotta be straight with you. You shouldn't have paid that, because there's nothing that's entertaining that you're going to be cognizant of your feet during. You know what I mean? And another thing that really turned me off to the show was when I really had a renaissance to this with this album, or when I really connected with this album, was when I lived in Florida completely by myself. And I listened to it all the time. I just, you know, really connected with it in a weird narcissistic way where I felt like it was my album. And Golden Hour, she was playing Golden Hour at the show. Now, I'm going to tell you, this was the most boring show ever. Like, I was so ready to leave. I had more energy than Casey. Like, I could have got up there and performed the songs better than Casey. Anyhow, she sounded amazing, but she was singing Golden Hour. I perceived Golden Hour to be a really serious, sweet song. And at the end of it, she said, "You're my golden shower." I'm sorry. That pissed me off to this day. That pissed me off to this day. Why would you say that? That is an example of a theory that I have been trying to work out in my head, and I'm just going to call it the Noah Kahan theory, because I love Noah Kahan's music, and I probably listen to it right with Taylor Swift. Like, that's really the only thing that I listen to is Noah Kahan and Taylor Swift. And he doesn't need to have social media, because when I see him tweeting about farting and pooping, like, I'm sorry. One thing about me, I don't do bathroom humor. That's not funny. Pee pee poo poo, that's not funny. I'm sorry. It's not funny. And you need some type of PR agent to tell you that you're turning your fans off, because I'm not connecting with that. I'm connecting with the person who wrote Stick Season. So I don't really need to see your most personal thoughts. This is why celebrities were cooler before social media existed. This is why celebrities were cooler when you didn't know their personality. Because everyone's a freak. I have to be honest. Everyone's a freak. This brings me to the topic of relatable influencers, quote unquote. And I hate them. I can't lie. The people that post content of, "This is my body and this is my body too," but they're slouching and sticking out their stomach. I don't know who this is helping. The people that are posting themselves crying and saying they struggle with anxiety and they just want to make sure everyone knows that other people have anxiety too. Yeah, we know. Like, half the country has anxiety because of social media. And I also think it's almost harmful for some influencers. Like, I saw someone the other day, and I will say, acne is very normal. It is very common. Texture on skin is very common. Pores are common. A lot of these things are common. Somebody I saw the other day posted their skin, and they have cystic acne. And now, cystic acne is not normal. Unfortunately, it is common, but it is treatable. And you really probably should see a dermatologist for something like that. But this girl posted a picture of cystic acne. And she said, "Just want to share this so everyone knows my skin is not perfect." Okay, so you edit every single one of your pictures because your skin looks flawless in every picture that you post. So that's a problem right there. And she said, "I just want everyone to know acne is so normal." That's not normal. Unfortunately, it is common. But don't say it's normal. People can't click your link for Clean and Clear topical treatment and clear cystic acne. Another example, like Kacey Musgraves and Noah Kahan, is actually a music video that Taylor Swift did, and she premiered it during some award show, like back. I hope y'all can't hear my feet sliding across the legs of my desk because it keeps sounding like I have gas, but that is my foot. Anywho, Taylor Swift released the Delicate music video during some award show, and me, my roommate Dana, and my sister, who was also my roommate Rebecca, sat on the couch watching it, ready for the music video. Delicate is a track 5. We're like, this is gonna be an amazing music video. The song is so serious, it's kind of, you know, gripping. The music video was so bad, we all sat there and convinced ourselves that one was a joke and she was going to release another one at the end of the show. That's how disappointed we were. That's why I don't really need to hear or see the artist's interpretation of the song after they release it. I'm sorry. I got my own. Oh, I got it. You're good. The other album that everyone is talking about is Ariana Grande's new album, Eternal Sunshine. I will be honest, I have not listened to it. I have listened to one song. Well, I listened to 2 if you count Yes And, which I thought was a flop. I listened to, which one? Can't Be Friends. I listened to that one today in the car with my friend Greta. And she was telling me that it's written about the media. And I just think Ariana Grande exhibits some very freak behavior. Sorry, everyone is a freak today. But her lyrics to We Can't Be Friends, when you listen to it, thinking about her singing it to the general public. I didn't think you'd understand me. How could you even try? I don't want to tiptoe. I don't want to hide. I don't want to feed this monstrous fire. Just want to let this story die and I'll be all right. Okay. And then the chorus, We Can't Be Friends, but I'd like to just pretend you cling to your paper and pens. This is where I think it's very almost delusional. Me and my truth, we sit in silence. Baby girl, it's me and you. Because I don't want to argue, but I don't want to bite my tongue. Excuse me. Yeah, I think I'd rather die. You got me misunderstood, but at least I look this good. What's misunderstood? Your man is still legally married, settling his divorce to his wife that you homewrecked him. Like, nobody's making up these rumors. These aren't rumors. You wreck every home that you enter. I just think she exhibits some very freak behavior. And when I saw there was a song on the album called The Boy Is Mine, I just want to say, are you okay? Are you okay? Where's the humility? You broke up a marriage. I don't really care about her marriage. She can do whatever she wants with the real estate agent. You broke up a marriage and the baby was less than a year old at the time. So I just think to release this and then say, you know, don't interpret my songs that way. It's not an interpretation. It's literally what you wrote. The boy is mine. The lyrics from the song. Please know this ain't what I planned for. Something about him is made for somebody like me. The boy is mine. I can't wait to try him. Oh my goodness. Let's get intertwined. The stars aligned. Also, it kind of takes some of the magic out of it when the person that she's writing about, I'm sorry, I hate to talk about people's looks. He's so ugly. I'm sorry. I had to say it. Anywho, you're safe. You got him. The boy is yours, even though you stole him from his wife. I just saw a picture of him. Anywho, yeah, I don't really care about Ariana Grande or her music, and I haven't listened to any of it. But We Can't Be Friends is good. I just think it's got the kind of delusional vibe, you know? It's very delusional. That is really all I have for you guys today. I believe I hit everything that I wanted to talk about. I'm really liking the shorter form episodes. I love a good long form content, but I'm liking the 30-minute episodes. I feel like I say my piece. I get out of your hair. I don't keep you all day. And I did have one question that I really didn't know how to tie into the rest of the episode, but somebody asked my favorite face wash, and I will literally never pass up an opportunity to talk about skincare. So my favorite face wash In the mornings, I do just an oil cleanser. And I use the Beauty of Joseon. It is a Korean beauty brand. And I would not order it off Amazon if I were you. I would order it off this website called Stylevana. They have a lot of Korean beauty products. So I use that in the morning. And it's just the Beauty of Joseon oil cleanser. And then at night, I do the Beauty of Joseon oil cleanser. Even if I haven't worn makeup, I do an oil-based cleanser to break up my SPF and any, you know, dirt and grime from the day. And then I do the Naturium benzoyl peroxide face wash. And I love it. And the oil cleanser really keeps me from getting dry from using the benzoyl peroxide every day. Even though it is very gentle and it can be used every day, I think the oil-based cleanser helps. So, those are my favorite face washes of the moment. I also love any of the Naturium face washes. I've used them all, and I think they're lovely. And there is one oil-based cleanser that I used to get off of Amazon when I first started using oil-based cleansers that I saw in Chinatown when I was there not that long ago and actually got Greta on it. And it is the Softimo oil cleanser. You can get that one on Amazon, and I would trust it, but you got to be careful with the stuff you get off Amazon. Cause like, I don't know if y'all remember this, but I did get a fake one time and it actually broke me out so bad. So that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Ladies Ordinary. If you did, please be sure to share it with a friend and make sure that you leave a rating and review and follow the podcast on Instagram at The Ladies Ordinary on Instagram to, you know, be in the conversation, contribute to what we're talking about, DM me, chat, like DM's open. So thank you so much, and I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.